The nuns are on the increase. I don't mean the N-U-N-S nuns, the religious nuns. I mean the N-O-N-E-S nuns. According to demographers, 27% of the country claims they have no religious affiliation currently. And the demographers call them the nuns. They have none. They can check the nun box. And among the millennials, the youngest cohort of the millennials, it's even more dramatic. Probably as much as 40% would check the nun box. Even among believers, those who claim a religious affiliation, 54% admit that they attend church rarely or not at all. When they interview Catholics, two-thirds of people who were raised as Catholics no longer practice the faith regularly. And this is not just a phenomenon in the United States. In Western Europe, it's even more dramatic decline in belief and practice. And even in Mexico, Catholic Mexico, they have added a category of nun to their census. When people are interviewed about this phenomenon, about why they would check the nun box, they say, well, things like, well, I don't believe in God, or I don't like what the church teaches, or I don't like to belong to a religious organization. But the bottom line, when you get cut through all of their things that they say, there's one common thread, and that thread is, religion just doesn't have any relevance to my life. And of course, we don't need to check with demographers to find the truth of this reality. If your family's anything like mine, all you have to do is look at your loved ones. When I see my cousins and my nephews and my nieces and my other relatives, they tell me, I'm not mad at the church. I don't have any intellectual problems with what the church teaches. I'm not that bothered by the church scandals. I just don't find any connection between being church and my life. Now, there have been several responses to this phenomenon. If you are on the right wing of the church, you say the Latin Mass is the answer, right? Because when we had the Latin Mass, the church was full. So it's logical, if we have the Latin Mass again, the churches will be filled again, right? If you're on the left wing of the church, you say, well, the problem is the church isn't relevant anymore, so you've got to do away with all those old things. Get away with celibacy, stop talking about sex all the time, get women more involved, get involved in social justice, then you'll be relevant. Pope Benedict had his own solution. Pope Benedict said the problem was secularization, and so what we had to do is be really clear about what we believe and what we teach so that we can stand against all these forces that are out there. Pope Francis has his own solution. He says what we need to do is exhibit the joy of the gospel. Because if people can see the joy in our heart, they will want that joy for themselves. Social scientists weigh in as well. They say, well, the problem is not just a church problem, it's a societal problem. We live in this age of extreme individualization, what they call the atomization of society. People don't join any groups or any clubs or any membership things anymore, much less religious ones. So what we have to do is just be with people where they're at, to listen to them, instead of telling them what to do. So, all these different proposals on how to confront, deal with this situation of, as Jesus puts it, will there be faith on earth? I know with my own family, I try to tell them, or I do tell them, of how much the faith means to me, how it gives me joy and hope. And I suggest to them that, try it. It'd be good for you. You live a happier and richer life as believers. It's kind of like taking your vitamins, I said. You don't even know you need vitamins, but if you take them, you feel healthier and you're more energized. They're not buying that yet, so I don't know. I have to keep working on it. Well, let's look at the Bible for today and see if it gives us some way forward, some way of confronting this reality that we're dealing with. Take the Old Testament lesson today from the book of Exodus, and we have this story of Moses who is having this conflict. He's having trouble, he's having difficulty, and he knows the solution for it is to pray. I've got to pray to make this problem go away. And so he goes up the mountaintop and he's praying. But he gets tired of praying. So he loses his zip. And when he's not praying, things don't go well. So what the Bible says, the story says, that Moses needed help to keep praying. He needed his friends to come and help him to pray so that things would go well. And of course, that I think is a valuable lesson for all of us. We all need to help each other, to support each other, to be with each other when things are wearing us down or tearing us down or staring us down. So that's the first lesson that strikes me. And the second one from the epistle today, St. Paul is talking with his young apprentice. I guess if this was a galaxy far, far away and long, long ago, it would be his Padawan, but I don't know. It might be. He's talking to his young apprentice. And he says to him, you know the solution. The solution is in the Bible. You've learned this from your youth, he says to Timothy. The solution's in the Bible. The Bible is excellent for instruction and for correction and for encouragement and for training. So just go to the Bible. Well, the problem nowadays is that there isn't any criterion that we have to say, well, what is the truth? You know, we live in a world which has as one whole strand in psychology, you do your thing and I do mine, and if we happen to meet, it's beautiful. You know, so, okay, you read the Bible, that's cool. Well, I'm going to listen to Dr. Phil. And that'll be cool. But maybe this is not just a modern problem. Because if you look at that text, St. Paul says, you know, you have to persevere in this word of God, both in season and out of season, when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. You have to encourage through patience, the apostle says. I think the instinct that he's trying to get Timothy to understand is that the truth will win out because we're made for the truth. And in the gospel today, we find another stream that might suggest how we can confront our current situation, and that is the instinct to keep battering for justice. Isn't that what the story of the widow is all about? She feels that she's being unjustly treated, and she is going against those forces, those elements of intransigence, of intolerance, because she knows she's right. And so Jesus tells this parable so that each one of us will know that we have to keep fighting the good fight as well for justice, for a better world, for a world that will look as God intends. We know that The man is there, as we used to say in the olden days. We know that selfishness and greed and racism and prejudice are there. But Jesus lets us know that we have to keep on keeping on and fighting the good fight. Dr. King taught us that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. So, how do we deal with our current reality? Do we listen to the Pope, or listen to the Bible, or even the social scientists? What should we do? I don't know. But I know we have to do something. See, because we love these people. And we know that we have something so precious. They might not know it, but we know it. We know we have something so precious that they need. We have to convey to them somehow God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. Amen.